start your day. Let's hear away, Rabbi Ephraim Bruchfeld.
Today is the Yutzad of Mr. Bernard Morris, made be Idin Shmusoy, Dov Yitzchak, Ben Ephraim Elchunan, an active member of Torah Way. The parasha starts with the hesped of Avraham Avinu for his wife Sura. And he said, according to Chazal, the words of Eishes Chayil Miyimtzu. And then he said, Pio Paschu Bechochmu, V'soiras chesed al yishoyno, soifio halicho izbeiso, v'lechem atzlus lo yisoychem. Which could be translated as, she didn't eat or feed the bread of laziness. What does it mean, bread of laziness? Which type of bread is that? What was Avraham Avinu referring when he said, v'lechem atzlus lo yisoychem? I would like to share with you a fascinating Chasam Sofer, who explains this pusik with last week's parsha. The Gemara quotes a pusik in Parshas Vayero, when Avraham Avinu invited his three guests, and he prepared a lavish meal, and then he went over to his wife Sur, and he said she should prepare ugois, bread, and he uses there the words she should use, kemach, soiles, lushi, vasu, ugois. Kemach means regular flour. Soiles means refined flour, sifted flour. And the Gemara asked, isn't that a contradiction? If you use kemach, you don't use soiles. And if you use soiles, you don't use kemach. How could you use at the same time kemach and soiles? Says the Gemara, the pusik is hinting to an argument between Avraham and Sur. Avraham said, we have guests, we have to feed them with the very best. And therefore use soiles. Use very nice, pure, sifted flour. And Sur said, it's enough to use kemach. Says the Gemara, Mikan, from here we see, She'eneyu shel nushim tzuru be'orchem. That when it comes to the subject of guests, women are perhaps thrifty is the translation. And the question is, how do you appreciate this Gemara? What does the Gemara mean? Were they arguing if they should use such a flour or another flour? They had enough slaves. Couldn't they ask Eliezer to sift the flour or buy a more expensive flour? Would this make a difference on the bill? And even if, would the Torah mention that? Would the Gemara mention that? Says the Chasam Sofer, there was a totally different argument. Of course, Sura didn't mind to serve soiles. It didn't make any difference. However, as we know, Avraham and Sura had many guests, but giving them to eat was only a small part of it. The main thing was to encourage them to recognize that yesh manik labir, there's a Rebbe Yisrael in the world, and they shared words of wisdom, divrei Torah, divrei Hashkufe, perhaps sipuri tzadikim, and they were very successful, as the Torah says, am nefesh asher usu b'churon, avruam megayer anushim, suru megayeres nushim. However, they disagreed on the way how should a person be mekar of someone else. What's the right approach to kiruv? How should one inspire someone else? How should one educate another person? Should one serve him kemach or soiles? Soiles, refined flour, refers to explain them, give them the right hashkufe, but in a very crystal clear way. No questions, no challenges. Everything has to be served on a golden platter. And if they are very clear, if they hear the words with such clarity, this will connect them, and they will slowly but surely realize that yesh manik labir. This was Avraham Avinu's way. And Sura said, it's true, it's very nice to serve everything on the golden platter, but long term, will go in one ear and exit the other ear. If you really want them to connect, if you want them to grow, if you want them to recognize on the long term the yesh manik labir, this isn't the right way. Challenge them. Ask them questions. Let them work it out themselves. Empower them. Encourage them. And by doing so, if they work it out themselves, then it will become part of them. It might take longer. It wouldn't go as fast. But on the long term, this is the only way which would work. Therefore, I prefer to serve them kemach, unsifted flour, let them sift the flour themselves. They should purify the flour. They should take out all the bad elements. They should be challenged. And then slowly but surely, it will work and they will connect. Who is right? What's the right approach? Should one spoon-feed someone? Give him all the questions? No questions are allowed to be asked. You can't even think this is the way it should be. Or, on the contrary, encourage them. Let them think. Let them work it out themselves. What's the right path in education, in Kyiv, in inspiring someone? Says the Chasam Sofer, Avraham Avinu himself answers this question. Piyu poschu b'chochma. Sur opened her mouth with words of wisdom. V'soiras chesed al l'shoino tzoyfiyo halichois beisu. There's a person who is an oimet, who is standing on one place, and there's a person who is a hoilich. Yelchu mechoil el choil. A person who is continuously growing. She wanted to make sure that her words of wisdom should encourage someone to grow, to be an hoilich. Tzoyfiyo halichois beisu. How does one do that? What's the recipe? Says Avraham Avinu, she was right. V'lechem atzlus loisoichel. It wasn't a question of serving white bread or whole wheat bread. Rather, it shouldn't be bread of laziness. It shouldn't be soilless, it should be kemach. And kemach refers, of course, to spiritual food. It refers to the Torah. It should be fed in a way of kemach. And therefore, they will recognize slowly, slowly, they will be empowered, and will come to the conclusion that yesh manik labir.
Bread of laziness is opposite.
Lo, it shouldn't be bread of laziness. It shouldn't be bread. Therefore, when the Gemara says mikan sheyeneyu shel nushim tzur ba'orchim, it doesn't mean that the nature is not to share their food. Rather, they hold back some of the information. They choose not to share everything in order to encourage the other person to work it out themselves. And of course, it's a very delicate balance and has to be carefully guided. But it seems to be that if one just spoon-feeds someone, it won't work. You have to let the other person work it out himself. Let's go to the next parasha, the parasha of Shiduchim, the parasha of Evet Avraham Anochi, of Eliezer going on a mission to find the right match for Yitzchok, the son of his master Avraham. We all know the story. He arrives at the well, and he pleads with the Rabbeinu Shloinim. He has a kind of a test to find the right match. And it doesn't take him a long time. 10 minutes later, it's all done, and he finds Rivka. And then he wants to make sure that she's the right one. And he asks her, "Vayoymer bas mi'at, hagidi no li, hayesh beis avich mukim lonu lulin, vatoymer eilov bas besuel onoichi, ben milko asher yuldo lenuchel." She ticked every box. She's even related to Avraham Avinu, and he's sure, he's convinced she's the right one. What does one do when one encounters such siyata d'shmaya? One sees open miracles. Of course, the first thing is one thanks the Rabbeinu Shloim. Vayikoy to ish vayishtachu l'Hashem. He bows down and says thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I tried to look in Rashi to find any more explanations, and there's no explanation because it's self-understood. Of course, one says thank you. If one sees such siyata d'shmaya, one thanks the Rabbeinu Shloim. And therefore, why should Rashi explain anything? However, a few psukim later, Luvon invites Eliezer. And now comes the second part of his mission, to get an okay, the family of the father, perhaps of the brother. And he starts with a long story, and finally he hears the words, yes, we agree, you can take Rivka. And now the second part of the mission also succeeded. And again, the Pusik says, Vayhi kasher shuma Evet Avraham es divrayim. When he heard these words, the words of saying, yes, you can take Rivka, vayishtachu artzu l'Hashem. And again, he says, thank you. Again, self-understood. He just heard the good news. They agreed to sending Rivka, because without them agreeing, he would have to start all over again. Therefore, he thanks the Rabbeinu Shloim. However, this time, Rashi seems to have a need to elaborate. And Rashi says, You know what this pusuk is teaching us? That we have to say thank you. Mikan, from here we learn Shemoidim, we have to thank Al Besura Toiva, just like Eliezer who heard the good news, he thanked the Rebbeinu Shelem. This is the source for saying thank you. So the question is obvious. Why not before? Isn't that something which Rashi should have mentioned the first time when he thanks the Rebbeinu Shelem? And second of all, do we need Rashi to tell us to say thank you? Isn't it something which is self-understood? We educate even two-year-olds to say thank you. Didn't Noach thank the Rebbeinu Shelem when he was saved after the Mabul? Is this the first time when we encounter someone being grateful? That Rashi says, Mekan, from here we learn, Shemoidim al Besoire Toiv of Brit. This is the source. Before we share the Dvar Torah from the Chasam Sofer, I would like to share with you a Dvar Torah from his son, the Ksav Sofer, a very original Dvar Torah, but I believe it's quite relevant to our times. The Ksav Sofer says, let's see the Pusuk before. What exactly did he hear which made him saying thank you? Vayan, Luvon, Ubisuel, Vayoimru, Me'ashem, Yutzuadur. Luvon, the son, Ibisuel, the father, said together, Me'ashem, Yutzuadur. You tell me all these Sipure, the Moifsim, the stories that you had, the miracles, it must be, it's a match made in heaven. What can we say? If the Rebbeinu Shem wants the Shidduch to happen, who are we to say different? Hine Rivko lefonechu kach voleich tek Rivko. Usehi isho leven adonechu kasher diber Hashem. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants. And he asked two obvious questions. One question mentioned in Rashi. Vayan Luvon u'besuel? Vayan besuel u'luvon. Besuel was the father, Luvon was the son. It seems to be that Luvon was much more excited than his father. Why was he so excited? What made him so excited? And second of all, we are not used to hear words of Mashem Yutzuaduvo, Kasha Diber Hashem, Shem Shemaim, Shugur Befiem. The servant of Yitzur, we know the connection Luvon had with his Trufim. It wasn't someone who said Mashem Yutzuaduvo. Suddenly, they become holy and they use such language of the Boyanshem once. What can we do? Says the Ksav Sofer, imagine what happened here. Eliezer is representing Avraham Avinu. Shtar Matune Beyudoi, they knew very well, he's one of the richest people, if not the richest person in the world. And here you have his slave who is representing him, and he looks for the right match for his son. Luvon was very excited, but also very nervous. On the one hand, if there's one thing which excites Luvon, it's the sound of money. When he sees the jewels on Rivka, he gets excited. And years later, when Yaakov arrives, he also is looking for the money. But here he starts getting nervous with such a match. Perhaps there's a heavy price tag attached. What are the expectations? What would he want? Lots of jewels, clothes, animals, houses, apartments. He starts getting nervous. He sees his Yerisha crumbling. Maybe he'll have to share everything with his sister. And he's nervous. And he lets Eliezer speak. And Eliezer mentions only one thing. He wants Rivka. He doesn't mention anything about the Nadin, anything about money, what he wants, what he expects. When Luvon hears that, he gets very excited. And he seizes the opportunity and straight away he calls out and says, yes, 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 take Rivko. Exactly the way you're saying, take Rivko. Besuel is less excited. He anyway will have to share one day his money with his children. If it's just Luvon, or it's Luvon and Rivko, it doesn't make a difference. And which father likes to send his daughter empty-handed? But Luvon is very excited. I have the opportunity to send my sister away. She'll be cared for. She won't call for any support. No financial support needed. And the whole family enterprises will land by Luvon. It couldn't be any better. Vayan Luvon u'besuel. And Luvon has a plan. Luvon says to Eliezer, you speak about the Rebbeinu Shelem. I think we have to be very cautious with such a shidduch. If this shidduch is me'ashem yutzuaduvo, we have to keep it l'shem shemaim. Let's not discuss finances. This will just ruin the purity of this match. You say, Mashem Yutzaduvo, Kashadibir Hashem. If the Rebbeinu Shelem wants it so badly, then we have to be very careful. Let's not talk about finances. And as the Torah says, Kach, Hine Rivko Lefonechu, Kach Volech. Just take her. And he's very happy. Now Eliezer gets a mixed message. On the one hand, second part of the mission succeeded. He's very excited. He's very grateful. The Rebbeinu Shelem was Matzliach, his first part, and now the second part. On the other hand, he didn't expect such a welcome. How would he face Avraham Avinu when he comes and says, Avraham Avinu, here's Rivka. What's about the Nadan? That's not my strength. I'm not very good in negotiating and I couldn't get anything. It's quite upsetting, disappointing, perhaps a bit stressful. How does he manage these feelings? On the one hand, he's very grateful. On the other hand, something ruined his happiness. Says the Torah, and this is the Chiddush, says the Ksav Sofer. He could ignore all bad parts. He didn't even think about it. The only thing which he saw is, I have another opportunity to be grateful. I have so much to say thank you. You're right, it didn't work out the way I was hoping to. Okay. But this won't ruin my feeling of akura satov to the Rebbeinu Shelem. Says Rashi, mikan shemoidim al besura toive, even a besura toive which causes some upsetness as well. However, a person should try to ignore this upsetness and just be grateful. And when I saw this Vatoya this week, I was thinking, probably many people go through similar struggles. When Baruch Hashem does so many simchas, bar mitzvahs, chasenes, kiddushim, and it's not the way it used to be. A bar mitzvah doesn't look like the way it looked last year. A chasen is very different. And there the person has the challenge. On the one hand, it's such a beautiful milestone. There's so much to be grateful and to say shkoyach to the Rebbeinu Shelem. On the other hand, it's upsetting. It's not the way it used to be. It's not the way they expected it to be. It's not the way they planned it to be. And here the question is, does one let this upsetness cause stress and bad feelings? Or can a person really concentrate on the akura satov like Eliezer? Says Rashi, mekan shemoidim al besura toiva. The person should at least try to focus on the good and say thank you. Perhaps another thought. Also, the parasha of Shiduchim, where Eliezer comes to the well. Thank you. And he pleads with the Rebbeinu Shelem, he asked for a sign, a test, to find his right match. What was this test all about? Was it just a random test? As the Biskeruv said, the Torah says he came, Lifnois Erev. The story happened just a few minutes before the Shkia, before Nacht. And when he asked the Rebbeinu Shelem, he says, Hakre lefunai hayoim. I don't want to wait half an hour to see who the right one is. I want it to happen in 5 minutes. And therefore, everything had to go very fast. Vatemair, the water came up from itself. It was a test which was impossible, the derech hateva, to be fulfilled. And therefore, he just chose a random test, a random sign. And he saw she ticked all the boxes. In other words, with such a siyata d'shmaya, it must be she's the right one. Is this the nature of this test? Or there's some logic towards it? And if there is some logic towards it, the question is often asked, what was he thinking? Should a random girl, or perhaps a woman, come and offer to Eliezer, when all his men are standing next to him, and also to the camels to drink? Is this which is expected from a Bas Yisur? What was he thinking when he made up the sign? Says the Beis Halevi a very interesting answer. He says, it wasn't just a random test, perhaps as well, but there was also some logic towards it. He wanted to make sure that this girl who would be chosen as a zivik hugen, as a match for Yitzhak, has all the ingredients which is needed for a healthy and balanced marriage, which are, according to the Beis Halevi, kindness, be a giving person, sensitivity, because a person can be very giving, but not very sensitive to the feelings of others, and also, which one calls seichel hayusha, common sense, not sure if this is the right translation, sensitivity, kindness, be giving, and seichel hayusha. How will he find this out? And in not more than 5 minutes. Here's the plan. He will come to her, and she will come with a jug. How big is a jug? Not sure. But if it has to have enough water for the family for a day, perhaps 5 liters, perhaps 10 liters, she fills up the jug of water, and he will run towards her, and he will ask, can I drink a bit of water? I'm very thirsty. But I have no vessels. I don't have a cup, not a bottle. In other words, can I drink some water from your jug? And here's test number one. How giving is she? Does she have the rachmunis on a person who traveled and is very thirsty? Or she would say, I'm sorry, I'm really busy. Maybe someone else will help you. And we know the answer. She said, of course. And here, test number one, box number one is ticked. She's a kind, giving person. But here comes the challenge. If he will drink from this water, what would she do with the rest of the water? She has now 4.5 liters of water. One option is to bring this water home. But this wouldn't show any common sense. Someone, a stranger, drank from this water. Who knows if this water is contaminated or not? And then it wouldn't be the right match. However, if she pours out the water in front of him, how can you hurt someone's feeling? How can you show to someone, I can't drink your water? So she'll be stuck. And here she needs, in a question of seconds, to find the right balance in a diplomatic way. On the one hand, not bring the water home. On the other hand, not to pour out in front of him. What would be the solution? She has another 4.5 liter, and she'll give water to the camels. And therefore, the water is gone, and she didn't hurt any person's feelings, and this would show that she's competent, and she ticks all the boxes. However, says the Beis Halevi, when she answered, we see that she answered a bit differently. Says the Torah, can I use your jug, not my jug, I want to use your jug, and then I will see how you will react. Drink. That's the tamayr which we mentioned before. Now he drank his 0.5 liter, what now? Gam ligmalechu eshov. What does it mean, Eshov? The water is there. This is 4.5 liters there. She thought, if she will just feed these camels with 4.5 liters, he might guess what's happening. She's embarrassed to take the water home. She doesn't want to pour out the water. She'll give it to the first camel and then she'll fill up new water. He'll still be hurt. Therefore, she said, I prefer to go backwards and forwards, for another not half an hour, I'm not sure how long it took, to get the water and to feed all the camels, to satisfy them. And then he will think, probably she cares about the camels. It wasn't just that the water is contaminated. And therefore she said, Eshoiv adim kilu lishtois. I will not just empty this jug, I'll give them more and more and more and more water till they'll be fully satisfied. And then, if I have an empty jug, I need water for my family, I'll fill up the jug again. And therefore, says the Beis Halevi, it wasn't just a random test. It was a test to see if she ticks all the boxes. And like we see in the story, not only did she fulfill the wishes of Eliezer, she exceeded them, and she showed her care was much greater than thought.